Good morning.
Morning, morning.
After songs like that, everything ought to go great, shouldn't it? We're glad to have each one of you present here this morning in our midst, and those that are tuned in by electronic devices. We're glad that you're with us today, and hopefully we can study a lesson that will help us to be alert, help us to be alive and anxious to serve God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I think this is one of the passages that Tim used while I was gone, but I'm going to use this as a starting place for my lesson this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read about three verses there, and then we're going to go to Acts chapter 20 and read a few verses there. Acts 10, let's begin with verse 24 and read down through verse 26. And let us consider one another as to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Now turn back to Acts chapter 20, and let's read a few verses from Acts chapter 20, and then we'll get into our lesson this morning. Acts chapter 20, I begin reading with verse 26 and read down through about verse 32. Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 26. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also among yourselves will men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, you may wonder from these readings this morning what we're talking about. Well, let me say this. I'm talking to you this morning. I'm talking to me this morning. I'm talking to us today. So this is about us and what we are to do and what we fail to do sometime. We've all heard the saying, action speaks louder than words. Well, that'll give you a little bit of idea of what we're talking about this morning. By our actions, by what I say, by what I do, then I send a message to the world. And what kind of message am I sending? By the way you talk and by the way that you act, things that you do, you send a message to those round about us, to your family, to other Christians, to the world that are not Christians, that are looking maybe for someone as an example to follow. So we send a message then to those round about us by the things we say and the things we do. Now think about that this morning. Now, by your being here today, you're sending a message to the world. Those people, your neighbors saw you this morning as you left. They know that this is something that you do every first day of the week, that you leave to come to worship God. You're sending a message to them. And so by our attendance today, we're sending a message to our own family, to those that live close to us, to the world, to other Christians. We're sending a message to them. By our faithful attendance, we send a message to our brethren and to those who are not Christians. So our faithful attendance, this is one thing we're talking about today, is my attendance and your attendance and the attitude that we have toward these. So we realize that we're the only Bible sometime that people read. And if we're the only Bible that people read, then what kind of message are they reading when they read us? What are they seeing? What are we saying to the world and to those that are reading us as the Bible? Well, let's talk about that this morning. Here are some of the messages that we send by our faithful attendance to the services of the church, not just on Sunday morning, but Wednesday night, any time that the church has services together, or services where we can get together and study God's word and meditate upon it. If I attend those services faithfully, then here are some of the messages that I'm sending to the world and to mankind round about. I have about 10 of these that I have written down this morning. You may have some others you can add to them. But first of all, I'm saying to the world by my being here today and faithfully serving God or attending the services of God, I take seriously the study of God's Word, and I respect what it says. And I think that's what we're saying when we're here this morning. I take seriously the study of God's Word. I want to know what God's Word has in store for me, what it says for me to do. I want to know what I must do to please the Lord to where I can be faithful and be in that heavenly home after this life has passed and gone. We spend a lifetime working, trying to get to the point where whenever death overtakes us, that we can be with the Lord and be with Him in that heavenly home. And we don't need to take that lightly. So we take seriously the study of God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul told Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God." The King James Version will say, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the Word of God." In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, he says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Now that's the responsibility that we have. I have a responsibility this morning to stand before you and to break unto you the bread of life, to teach you the word of God. You have a responsibility to follow and make sure that what I'm teaching you is right. You have a responsibility of obeying that which is right and denying that which is wrong, or casting off that which is wrong. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, he said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, now notice, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." Our delight should be in the law of the Lord. We ought to be anxious to study God's Word. Whenever there's an opportunity for us to study God's Word, we ought to be anxious to do so. We need to pick up our Bible every day and read the Bible every day, that we can delight in the law of the Lord and that we can meditate upon His Word. While I was going to Kentucky on a Tuesday night, I guess it was, and at Southside, where Melissa attends, they were having a gospel meeting. And the men of the congregation were the ones that was doing the preaching in that meeting. And the night that I went and attended on a Tuesday night, the young men preached about Jesus Christ and the suffering that Jesus Christ did. And I'll tell you, when you went through some of the things that he brought out about the suffering of Christ, I don't think there's hardly a person in that audience that didn't have tears running down their cheeks. And whenever we can delight in the law of the Lord and we can see what Jesus actually went through with for us, and after the lesson was over, I was commending him for the lesson he did. He said, "Well, I left out part of it. It got so gory that he left out part of it." And so I know back a year or two ago, when it came out about the Passion of Christ and how the suffering that he did, and one of the members of the church there where I was preaching went and watched that movie, and he said, you know, before it was over, said, "I was just saying, that's enough already. That's enough. The man's had enough. Let's stop." And so that's when you go back and really read what Jesus suffered for us. That's kind of the idea that you have. That's enough. What in the world do you want to do more for? And as he talked about the other night, by the time that he was through with the beating that he had received before he was ever nailed to the cross, that his back was probably in shreds because the whip that they used to scourge him with had the tags in the end of it. They would not only cut the back, but it would stick into the back. And then when they pulled the whip back, it pulled that out. And when it did, it pulled skin and meat along with it. So he was in terrible pain and agony, almost dead when they finished the beating. And many people could not even take the beating. They died during the beating. And so when you read things like this and study things like this, it makes you want to serve God in the right way. It makes you want to do more for the Lord, because look at what all he did for us. In Psalms 119 and verse 97, he says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." If we really love the law of the Lord, then we're going to study it every chance that we get. And whenever we have a chance, we're going to read the Bible and study it as much as we can. Number two, it says, my attendance, faithful attendance, says, I see the benefits of the Bible for my soul. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. The word of God is precious. The word of God is important to us. And you go back and read about the Bible and how we got our Bible and how many people suffered in order to have the Bible to where we could have it to read. There were a lot of people that did not want us to have the Bible. And it cost people their lives even to get to a point where you and I have the Bible in our homes. Today we have several copies of the Bible. You go back here into my office, I don't know how many copies of the Bible I have back there in my office, different translations and so forth. But it hasn't always been that way. And we have the Word of God to where we have access to, and we can purchase it. It's not above our ability to purchase as at one time it would have been when they had the scrolls and things like this. It would have cost a lot of money to have had those. But we can buy a Bible now relatively inexpensive, and we can have the Word of God that we can read and study anytime we want to. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. So the word of God lives and abides, and it can live and abide in us if we allow it to. Number three, it says, I want to grow spiritually. You remember last week on Wednesday night in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, we read, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. God expects us to grow spiritually. He wants us to learn the fundamentals of Christianity and put those to practice in our life, but he don't want us to dwell on that. He wants us to grow. And that's one thing it says from the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. When we become children of God, when we're baptized into Christ, we're a baby. And we need the sincere milk of the Word. And God expects us to need that milk of the Word. And he expects us to desire that milk of the Word. But he doesn't expect us to stay a baby forever. He expects us to grow and to mature and get to the point where we can handle the meatier matters of the gospel. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And God expects us to grow. Wherever there is life, there must be growth. And so if we are alive in Christ, then he expects us to grow and to mature to where we can even produce more fruit. Number four, it says, I have set my affections on things above and not on worldly possessions. So whenever we are attending services, you may have not thought of all these things that it says to the world and to your family and to other Christians. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. You know that we spend a lot of time trying to accumulate things of this world, which are temporary. They do not last. They are here today and gone tomorrow. And we've seen things in our lifetime that suggest this to us and let us realize how unstable the things of the world really are. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So wherever our treasure is, if we're treasuring the things of the world, then our heart's going to be on the things of the world instead of on the things that are spiritual. And we've all seen things happen like this. My dad and mother was getting ready to retire, and they finally had bought them a little piece of property and built a house. And while they were at work one night, some teenagers broke in and burned the house down, and all the things that they had, all their dreams, was gone. So that shows you how the temporary things are material things are temporary. They're not stable. You cannot depend upon them. So they went to work with a beautiful house. They came home with a wall or two standing and a chimney. That's about all the standing of the house that they had. So we cannot depend on material things. We have to lay our treasures up in heaven and not on the earth. Number 5, it says, I am trying to develop the mind of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now we know the kind of mind that Jesus had. His mind was to do what the Father had said for him to do, the one that had sent him. And he worked his whole life that he was here on this earth to try to accomplish the things that the Lord expected him to accomplish. Now, if I have that mind, then that's what I'm going to be doing too. I'm going to be trying to accomplish the things that God expects me to do while I'm here upon this earth. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So Jesus wants us to come to him and to have the mind of him. And, you know, over and over again throughout the scripture, God wants us to be in the image of his Son. And that would be developing the mind of Christ and thinking like Christ and acting like Christ and desiring to do the things that are right like Christ did. Number 6, it also says I'm traveling the narrow pathway. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we're told of two different ways that we can travel. One of those is an easy way. It's a broad gate, a wide gate, and a broad way that leads to destruction. And many there be which find it or go in thereat. And this is because it's an easy road to follow. But then we're told of another way that's more difficult. It's talked about the narrow gate and the straight or difficult way that leads unto life. And there are few that find it. Now, one way is a little harder to travel, but the results of what we find at the end of that road is so much better than what we find at the end of the other that it behooves us to suffer a little bit to make it to be able to travel that difficult road instead of the interstate. There's one that's like an interstate. It's easy for you to travel. There's no obstacles in the way, and you can just breeze right along. But when you get where you're going, you're not going to like what you find, because it's destruction at the end of that road. The other's a little harder to travel, but when you get there, it's life eternal. And what's better than that? In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, Paul said, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Now God gives us the choice. We can make the choice of whether we want to, which one we want to follow. He shows here that if we're a slave to righteousness, that we will receive the, or if we are obedient, then we will receive the righteous judgment, the righteous prize that's there at the end. Do you not know that to whoever you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death. Now we can choose sin that leads to death, or we can choose obedience that leads to righteousness. It's left up to us. God leaves it to us to make the choice that's there. And may we make the right choice. Oh, every one of us needs to pray to God that he'll help us to make the right choice, and we'll follow the obedience to God and that leads unto righteousness and to that heavenly home that all of us desire. It says, number 7, I am in subjection to my elders. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, it said, remember those who rule over you who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. For we are to follow and we're to be obedient unto the elders that rule over us. Verse 17 of that same 13th chapter of Hebrews says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your soul as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So we're to watch out for, we're to obey, to be in subjection to our elders. That's a part of what God expects us to be. He put elders to rule over us, and we're to be in subjection unto them. Turn to 1 Peter. I'm going to read a verse or two from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's begin at verse 1 and read the first four verses there, 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders who are among you I exhort, who also am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by constraint but willingly, not for monetary gain but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So here we see the elders that we are to be in subjection to. We're to follow them, follow their rule. They depend upon God to make wise decisions and to lead the congregation in the way that they ought to go. And we need to respect them for that. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. And I don't know whether you realize it or not, but elders have a grave responsibility that's upon their shoulders. God expects them to lead the congregation in the right way, and they'll be rewarded if they do, and they'll be punished if they do not. And there's a grave responsibility that's upon their shoulders. Decisions that have to be made, sometimes decisions that you know everybody's not going to like the decision that you make, but you have to make the decision that God has given you the authority to make in his word. It also says, number 8, God and Christ are first in my life. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So we're to seek God first. We're to follow his rule, to follow the things that he says to us. And Joshua said in chapter 24 and verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land we dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this is the decision that we need to make. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and not the gods of the Amorites or some others. Number 9. It says, I exert a powerful example to my family and others. And that's what it says. When we are faithful to God, we are showing an example to our families, to our children, to other people, to our neighbors and friends. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example unto the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. That's a lot of things that we're to be an example in, isn't it? We're to be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We're going to have a full-time job if we do that, aren't we? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For to this end you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So we're to follow the steps of Christ, and we have that as an example that we are to follow. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. Far from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. Now this is the example that we need to be as children of God. Our faith needs to go out as an example, and people hear about that and want to do the same thing. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 2, And there, speaking of Timothy, it says, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And, of course, Paul asked him to go with him on his journeys and preaching the gospel, the tours that he made, some of them at least. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if our faith here at East Austin was spoken of throughout the whole country, throughout the whole world? People would know of us because of our faithfulness to God and our serving God every day of our life. Last of all, number 10, it says, I want heaven to be my eternal home. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But it shows if he stayed on, he would produce fruit, but his desire would be to go on and to be with the Lord. Let me read about one more passage or so, and we'll bring our lesson to a close. In the book of John, this passage is familiar to you. In John chapter 14, let's begin with verse 1 and read down about six verses there in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One other passage, and then we'll bring our lesson to a close. 1 Thessalonians, if you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians, we're going to read a few verses there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's go down to about verse 13 and start our reading there at verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who fall asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. What a thought and what a hope of being able to be with the Lord at the end when this life is over, and to know that we have served him in a way to where he's pleased with us and we'll be in that heavenly home throughout eternity. The lesson is yours this morning. What kind of message are we sending? You know, this is the question that we need to think about. What message are we sending to those round about us? What are they seeing when they look at us? Do they see faithful children of God? Do they see us who love God? We want to do what God has for us to do. Or do they see hypocrites who claim to be something they're not? Do they see people who just pretend to be Christians instead of really being the Christian that they should? Like we said, people see us. Sometimes we're the only Bible that they read. So what are they reading? I hope that they're reading here faithful Christians, and we want to be a part of what they are. If you need to obey the gospel, why not come today while there's time and opportunity and be obedient in whatever way that you need to while we stand and as we sing together.